that floods my soul.
Kind of touch, and that touch is loving and kind and supportive, and special kind of touch that we might share between friends or somebody that we love. Special kind of touch that those who are trained to work on the human body, they are trained to touch us in a way that if it's done appropriately, it will help us relieve stress and tension. But there's nothing like the touch of Jesus. That's a soul touch. That's a touch that will turn your life around. That's a touch that will give you hope. That's a touch that will give you a sense of joy. That's a touch that will comfort you. That's a touch that will give you divine boldness to keep on in the face of opposition when you know God's on your side. Matter of fact, I heard somebody say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. So I'm so glad that he touches us. May not be a physical touch, but in your person, you know when you feel the touch of the Lord. And here's the thing, when you feel that touch, no matter what you're going through, it makes everything all right. Come on, let's just tell God, thank you. Thank you for your touch, Lord, your special touch. There's different than any other touch. Let's thank God for this choir this morning. Choir, musician, director, amen. We go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, now for another opportunity to preach your word. Lord God, I thank you that you've called me into this preaching ministry. Lord, let me always remember that I am nothing. You are everything. And I am to do your will. Use me as you will, Holy Spirit, for your glory and for the blessing and benefit of those under the sound of my voice. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. We give honor to Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God. And we thank him for his grace and his mercy. Amen. To the deacons and ushers and trustees and auxiliary heads, members of Roanoke Salem, those who are visiting, to my brother and sister in Christ who are with us this morning, we just thank you all. And we greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. This morning, church family, if you will please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 38. Scriptures that are very, very, very familiar to most people. Amen. And while you're turning there, let me share something really quickly, because I don't want to forget if I don't do it. I've got the honor roll here of one of our other beautiful young ladies who's doing so well in school, Sister Kalia Banks. She made the A honor roll for the first 9 weeks of school. Amen. Amen. And she has an award for math achievement given on February the 1st. So Kalia is just continuing to do so well, as she always does. Kalia, you hang in there. Keep doing it. Keep doing your best. Don't let anybody discourage you to do different. Don't listen to those knuckleheads. You smart, you let them know you smart. Amen. God made you smart for a reason. Amen. So you be smart. You be exactly who he called you to be. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 38. Like I said, very familiar passages of scripture. My sister in Christ, Pastor Lofton, shared with me when she came into the pulpit that she preached this morning. They have a 9:30 service now at Hills Chapel, 9:30 on first Sunday mornings. And she said she preached, the potter wants to put you back together again. And I immediately asked her, well, do you want to preach right now? Because that's a good message right there. I want to hear that one myself. But I said to her, you know, but that, for me anyway, confirms this message, because I said to her, one of the reasons why the potter, one of the reasons why God puts us back together again when we're broken, is because of his tremendous love for us. Amen. In spite of ourselves, in spite of ourselves. And so with that in mind, let me read Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I'm reading this from the New International Version for those who may have a different translation. This is Paul writing. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from what? The love of God that is in who? Christ Jesus. Paul says none of these things can separate us from the love of God. Amen. And we get that love through our relationship with Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. So church family, for just a few minutes, just a few brief minutes, would you please let us reason together from this thought, the greatest love of all, the greatest love of all. Some know that song. Some of you all are very familiar with that song titled The Greatest Love of All. It's been recorded many, many times by many, many different artists. Personally, I think George Benson's version might be the most popular. Some of y'all might say Whitney Houston's version, whatever. But I think George Benson's is the most popular because he recorded that for a movie about Muhammad Ali called The Greatest. The central theme of that song, The Greatest Love of All, is that learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who believe that, who think that way. But everybody doesn't believe that self-love is the greatest love of all. Amen. I know that's right because there are literally probably tens of thousands of songs and books and poems and movies that declare that the love between two people in love is the greatest love of all. Amen. Y'all know all them love songs we like. All them songs, we come right out of here, Dr. Lofton, singing Glory to God, and get right in our car and be, oh, baby, I love you so much, can't live without you. If you stop loving me, I'ma die, and all them lies we tell. Okay, maybe that's just the songs I listen to. But for real now, y'all, for real, because look, the play Romeo and Juliet, some of y'all familiar with that, the play, the book by Shakespeare, that was about an intense love between two young people. The song, When a Man Loves a Woman, amen, that was about intense love. Man loves a woman, she can't do no wrong. That crazy love. Man, you don't lost your doggone mind, love. She can't do no wrong. Anyway. There was a series 3, 4, 5 years ago now. Some of you all are familiar with the book. Then it became a movie called 50 Shades of Grey. If you're familiar with it, keep it to yourself. If you're not familiar with it, you probably don't need to be. But so hundreds of millions of dollars around the world, worldwide. And that movie is about an intense relationship of love between a man and a woman. Amen. All of these things, all of these books and songs and magazines, all of these things, they focus on the extremely intense and sometimes tragic romantic love. Matter of fact, the Reverend Dr. Pastor Bishop Apostle Al Green says romantic love can be so powerful, he said it can make you do right and make you do wrong. Amen. That's what he said. But then there are some of us who declare that the bond between parents and children is the greatest love of all. We hear about stories from all over the world, and I mean we literally do, detailing how parents or a single parent made tremendous sacrifices for children, even including giving up their lives so their children can live on. We saw that theme of parental sacrifice in full view in the Disney movie called The Lion King, when the king, Mufasa, gave up his life for his son, Simba. Even though that was a fictional story, real parents make this choice somewhere in the world, probably just about every day. Amen, amen. No doubt you and I may disagree on what type of love is the greatest love of all, but regardless of our opinions, let me ask you to consider this. How great is a love that can reach anybody, anywhere, anytime? A love that can get to you and me no matter who or what may be trying to stop it from getting to us. How great is that kind of love? Let me give you something else to think about. This kind of love that can't be stopped, it's not just available for folks who want it. Here's the thing that makes it so great. It's also available for folks who don't want it right now. Amen. But they can still change their minds later on. And this love will be still right there waiting for them. See, it's one thing when you love her and she don't love you back. But it's another thing when she loves you and you don't love her back, but she keep on loving you anyway. And 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road, when you come to some good sense, you say, you know what? You've been loving me all this time, and I've been a big fool. Amen. That kind of love is what I'm talking about, Monte. I don't know about you, but I think that the greatest kind of love is that kind of love, and it's real love. I declare to all of us today that the greatest love of all is the love of Jehovah God. That is the greatest love of all. What makes God's love the greatest love of all? Well, here's one thing. Jehovah God's love had to make a tremendous sacrifice, a tremendous, deeply painful personal sacrifice in order to share this love with us. God had to make the most compelling, the deepest, DeVito, the most painful, Steve, sacrifice you could ever ask anybody to make so that his love could get to you and me. From the NIV, 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and he sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." What does that mean? He sent Jesus to become sin for us. He sent Jesus to be punished for our sins. He sent Jesus to be put to death for everybody sitting in here. And some of us at different points and times in our lives, me at the first of the line, I ain't bit more care about God than a man in the moon. All I cared about is what I wanted, when I wanted it, and how soon I can get to it. Amen. But even then, his love was still there for me, Dr. Lofton. Here's another thing that makes Jehovah God's love the greatest. God's love is unconditional to anyone who will accept it. John 3:16, we can quote it with our eyes closed. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Here's the key part, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. Who is whosoever? Everybody. We try to, some of us in church family, we're trying to make that scripture conditional. Whosoever, except for certain folk. No, that's not what it is. Whosoever is anybody. Here's the third thing that makes Jehovah God's love the greatest love of all. Nobody or nothing can stop God's love from reaching you and me. Nobody and nothing can stop Jehovah God's love from reaching you and me. And that brings us to our scriptures for this morning. Romans 8:38-39. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter, this book to the Romans, to the Christians living under the rule of the Roman Empire in the city of Rome. These last two verses of chapter 8 are important because Paul shares his conclusion that Jehovah God's love, which is open to everybody by faith in Jesus Christ, he says it's the most powerful force there is, and that makes it the greatest love of all. Paul knew that what he was talking about because he was a firsthand witness. He was an in-person witness. He was an eyewitness to how the love of God has the power to bring a positive change into anybody's life. Here's the main reason I want us to be excited about this message this morning. No matter where you are, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what you may have done or be doing right now, the power of God's love is always there to help you. Amen. It's always there to help you. Beginning at verse 38, Paul lists some of the obstacles that cannot separate us. They can't block God's love from reaching us and helping us if we are a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul says that death and life, that's talking about the human condition. The human condition, because you're either alive or dead. You're either alive or dead. But within your human condition, when you are alive, what is it within our condition? Our own sin. Yeah, we mess up. Sometimes we mess up, we so-called say accidentally. Sometimes we say we slip up. Most of the time, we know what we're doing. We know what we're doing. And we do it anyway. And yeah, God punishes us because he's holy. He's holy. He has to punish us, but he does not stop loving us. More importantly, he does not stop making his love available to us that can turn our lives around. So Paul says, neither death nor life, the human condition, can't stop the greatest love of all. He says, neither angels nor demons, that's heaven and hell, that can't stop the greatest love of all. There's not an angel in heaven right now. There's not only an angel, there's nobody. Samson, strongest man that ever lived. Solomon, wisest man to ever live. David, a man after God's own heart. Ruth, who's in the bloodline to Jesus Christ directly herself. Amen. Esther, the queen who trusted the Lord with her life and he saved her and all her people. None of them as great as they were. Abraham, who God says is his friend. None of them can stop God from loving us. They can't go to Jesus and say, you know what? You shouldn't love Brian because he ain't worthy of your love. He'll tell them, step back. Step back. I don't want to hear that because I died for Brian. Amen. No demon in hell. No demon in hell has the power to stop God's love from reaching us and from helping us. Paul says neither present nor past. He's talking about time. So in other words, there's no amount of time that can pass. Present time, past time, future time if you live to see some more time. That can't stop God's love. It ain't got nothing to do with time. The only thing that's important about time is the time you make up your mind to receive it. That's the only thing that's important about it, because whenever and wherever time you decide that you want to accept Jesus' love, it's right there available to you. I'm so glad that time is not the problem, or that time can't stop him. Because here's the thing. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't know how much time I have left. That's why he didn't make it be about you got 20 years of life. He told us what the expectant type of amount of life is. But he didn't say, but of those 70 years, you only got 30 to come to me, or else it's too late. I'm so glad he didn't do that. Because some folk, if they knew they only had 70 years, they might not be getting right till 69 and a half. But he still said that even if that's the case, if you're sincere now, he said, I love you. I'll receive you to myself. Amen. Present and past, time can't do it. Paul continues on verse number 39. He says, neither height nor depth. That's talking about space. That's talking about just space as we know it. There's no place so high we can go to escape God's love. Or nobody can put us somewhere. They can put you on a rocket and shoot you to Venus. But if you in that rocket ship saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please forgive me of my sin, you're going to be saved. You may die in space, but your soul going to go to heaven. Amen. Can't send you to the bottom of the ocean. They can't build a submarine or whatever they want to do and send you to the deepest part known to man on this earth in the ocean. God's love is right there. All you have to do is cry out. I'm so glad he says that these things cannot stop us, can't separate us from God's love. And then he said, anything else in all creation. So you name it. You name it. What is it that you think of that you think might stop God's love from reaching you and changing your life? I can't think of anything. Strength has nothing to do with it. Intelligence has nothing to do with it. Money has nothing to do with it. Political power and influence has nothing to do with it. Who your mama is, who your daddy was, your grandmama, your granddad, none of that. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah, you got a Harvard Law degree, and that don't mean nothing. Because you can have a Harvard Law degree and go straight to hell, and the person that got third grade education be sitting in glory with the Lord. None of that's got anything to do with it. He says there's nothing that can stop God's love from reaching us and changing our lives if we give our lives to Jesus. How should we respond then, church family, to the greatest love of all? Here we go. Three quick things and I'm out your way. This is how we should respond. First, we should receive God's love and accept Jesus Christ. That's the first thing we should do. Receive God's love and accept Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 from the NIV. It says, but because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Jesus Christ, even when we were dead in sins. Then he says, it is by God's grace that you have been saved. You need to receive God's love by accepting and having a relationship with Jesus, because it's because of the death of Jesus Christ, who died for us and our sins, that we're able to be saved. It's the grace of God by our faith in Jesus. Here's number two. How do we respond to the greatest love of all? Number two, share God's love with each other. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. From the NIV. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We got a problem with that, many of us as church folk. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not one of those people that believe in trying to put everybody in the same basket. Yeah, Monte likes BMWs. I like my Chevrolet, but we can both get to the same place. He may get there a little bit faster than I do. You know, he'll look a little better, but as long as they let me in, I don't care. By the way, whenever you want to give me the keys to that Beamer, I'll take it. Just want you to know. But he's saying we have a problem with that, some of us, loving each other. Here's why. We have a surface kind of love, but we don't have sometimes a real love. You know, I kind of love you. I love you sometimes. I love you on certain days of the week. Yeah, I love you on every other third holiday. I'm saying not everybody, but some of us, we do. We have a problem. We have a problem loving each other within the body of Christ. Why? Because some of us still have too much of a judgmental spirit. See, we're quick to see the faults in everybody, but we can't look in the mirror and see our own. We can't do it. Some of us can't do that. And John said, as God loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, so how did John love us? He loved us and forgave us of our sins. He loves me right now. He loves me right now, Carl, in spite of Edwin. He knows my mess. He knows my good and my bad. You can't see what's in me, but God knows. And God loves me, and he loves you in spite of those things in you that he wishes were different. In spite of those things in me that he wants to be different. He doesn't stop loving me because I'm not 100% perfect. He loves me in spite of myself. He says, so now that's the same way you need to love each other. That doesn't mean you can't speak to folk and talk to them and call them on stuff that's wrong. But that does mean that you be mindful when you get ready to go talk to somebody and say, now let me make sure my spirit is right. Let me make sure I'm saying this to Dr. Laughlin for the right reason. Not just because I see an opportunity to go up to her and stand there with my Holy Ghost filled self and, you know, put her in her so-called place. Yeah. No, not for that reason. If I can't go speak to Dr. Lofton trying to help her, I need to keep my mouth shut. Some of us in here, if we can't go speak to somebody, even in a correction, but we can't do it with really because we truly care about them and be thoughtful about it, shut up. Don't say it. God will send somebody else. Because, see, here's the thing. God's going to judge me on how I talk to you and how I tell you what I tell you as much as what it is he told me to go tell you, too. You notice what happened when Nathan went to David about Bathsheba? You know why God sent Nathan? Because Nathan had the right spirit. Nathan didn't go in there and tell David not one thing about his personal opinion. David, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to know better. You the king, and God said you after his own heart and all that. And look at you, David. He didn't do none of that. He just simply went in there and told David what God said, and then he shut his mouth and went on about his business. And David wept like a baby for days out of the convention. That's how we ought to be. Say what the Lord, if you go into somebody with a correction, say what the Holy Spirit has directed you to say. Don't put anything to it. And then be on your way. And the last thing you ought to say to them is, I love you, and I'm here to help you if you want my help. If there's anything I can do to help you and be supportive, I'll do it. Right. But you don't go in there with no attitude of righteous indignation. What you got to be indignant about? What you got to be? What I got to be indignant about? You know, y'all have heard me say this before about that song, Roll Back the Curtains. No, I don't want God to roll back my curtains. Mm-mm. Let my curtains stay right where they are. Third thing, third way we're supposed to respond, how we should respond to the greatest love of all. Third way, if you can help somebody, do it. If you can help somebody, do it. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17, 18, again from the NIV. Here's what it says. If anyone has material possessions, if you got some stuff, if you got resources, and sees his brother or his sister in need, listen now, but you have no pity on him or her, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, forget that, brothers and sisters, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Amen. 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 Listen, and that doesn't mean God calls us to be blind fools either. When I say blind, I mean spiritually blind. He doesn't call us to just say, well, anytime anybody say they need something, run, go get. That's not what he's saying. He said, if you see a brother or sister in need, sometimes folks tell us they're in need and they're not in need. And we can investigate that if we need to before we, you know, do whatever we decide to do. But when you see the need, when I go to your house and I see you don't have enough food, you don't have any clean water. You know, when I'm standing in line at the grocery store and the bill is $50.12 and you tell the cashier you only have $25 and I got 25 extra dollars I can give you. When I see the need and the person needs help and I have no pity. Now, maybe that in that moment of time, maybe you're not in position to help. That's okay to pray for them. Or go try to find somebody that can help. Because see, here's the deal. I might be standing in food line right now, person standing from me, they don't have enough money to pay their bill. And I don't have enough money in my pocket to give them some money so they can pay for theirs. But see, here's how good God is. I look around, there's Brother Nate. There's Brother Nate. And I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because all our bills get ready to get paid now. I say, cashier, pay his. Ring up hers, ring up mine, and this brother standing behind me going to take care of it. To God be the glory. Amen. Seriously. If you can't help them, see, can you find some help for them? But what the word is saying here is that if you can help them and you see the need, then help them. Because if you don't, how can you say the love of God is in you? So I'll wrap this up. Three ways we should respond to the greatest love of all. Number one, receive God's love and accept Jesus. Number two, share God's love with each other. Number three, if you can help somebody, do it. Nobody here deserves the greatest love of all. Not one of us. We haven't earned it by being good. We will never have enough money to buy it. Jehovah God gives us his love because he loves mankind. There's no angel in heaven, there's no devil in hell that can keep the power of God's love away from us. Because of the love of Jehovah God through his son Jesus, we are never hopeless. We are never defeated. Amen, church. Because of Jesus, God's love to us through Jesus, we are never hopeless. I know sometimes that sounds like we're, you know, that's easy for you to say, Edwin, because, you know, you don't know my situation. Listen, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on around the world. I admit it. Every day we come. Matter of fact, sometimes Julia is a news junkie. She will watch the news, and she enjoys it. And I watch it some, but I can't sit there like she does because that stuff gets to be depressing to me after a while. And some of it makes you mad, and there's nothing you can do about it. Not really, except to pray. But my point is that even when I see all the crazy stuff going on in the world, we're still not hopeless. And we're still not defeated. Not if we know Jesus, not if we have a relationship with him, because he has all power. God's love is always available to us anytime we will accept it. And that's the key. You have to make up your mind that you want his love. He's not going to force it on you. Whatever problem you are facing, right this very minute, the greatest love of all is able to help you overcome it and have a great life in spite of it. Some of us have health challenges. You don't have to be in depression because you have a health challenge. The doctor may have given you a bad report. Okay, thank you, God. Thank you for doctors. God gave us doctors. But, Lord, I thank you most because I know you got the last word. Lord, if you say I got to live with this the rest of my life, you can still give me joy in the midst of it. I can still be better off and healthier than everybody else that got the same thing I got going on because of who it is that I belong to and the power that he has. And if the Lord so wills, he can perform a miracle and take it completely away. But whether he does that or not, you can still say, thank you, Lord, because you're going to sustain me. And I already know where my heavenly home is going to be. Amen. Amen. At all times, we're never hopeless. We're never defeated. There's only one condition to receiving God's love, and you have to get it from his son, Jesus. Amen. But why wouldn't you love Jesus? Why wouldn't you love Jesus? Because he loves you. Did you know that this morning? Do you really know and believe that Jesus? I know some of y'all know it, but do you really believe Jesus loves you? You don't even have a clue how much Jesus loves you and how much he loves me. Jesus became the greatest gift of love of all in human flesh, so you and I could have a life and have it more abundantly. What does that more abundant life look like? It looks like being able to cry tears of joy when you should be crying tears of sorrow. It looks like having $50 and making that stretch as much as if you had $150. It looks like being able to see a brother or sister in Christ in distress and going up to him and her and maybe giving them a hug or speaking a word of encouragement out the Bible, and they get uplifted by your presence. It's God using you to be a blessing of others. That's the more abundant life. We think the more abundant life, a lot of us, is us getting more and us having more and us rolling and being, you know, important and being validated and being recognized. The abundant life is having God be pleased with you because you are blessing others in his name. That's the more abundant life, because God promised that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything that you need is going to be added unto you. You'll get what you need if you're trying to be a blessing to others. That's the more abundant life. You can only get it through Jesus. Jesus died for you to have that more abundant life. Jesus is the one who came and proved how great his love is for all of us, because Jesus is the one that let them call him everything but a child of God. Y'all got to understand, I've said it before, some people probably don't like me to say it, but they did. They called Jesus a bastard child back in his day. Yes, they did, because he had a mama and they knew that the man that he was living with wasn't his daddy. So they did. They talked about Jesus just like they've talked about some of us. Yes, they did, but he took it all because he loved us. Yes, he did. Yeah. And when Jesus went around from place to place, touching people, healing the sick, raising the dead, and people were against him, church folk calling him a hypocrite, church folk saying that he had a demon spirit inside of him, he accepted all of that because he loved you and he loved me so much, the greatest love of all. Yes, he did. He let them put a crown of thorns on his head. Yes, he did. He let them slap him off his face, spit all in his face, slap him all upside the head, kick him all in the backside. He let them do all that stuff to him because he loved you and he loved me, the greatest love of all. He let them take him to Pilate's judgment hall. They lied on Jesus. They created lies to tell about Jesus. Jesus hadn't done anything wrong except that he loved you and he loved me, and that's why he did what he did. But he let folk lie on him, and he did not say a word back contrary, because he loved you and he loved me, the greatest love of all. He let them beat him so badly after they took him out that judgment hall. They beat him down to the bones in his back. You could literally see his ribs. You could literally see his spine, because the skin had fallen off his back almost. That's how badly they beat Jesus. And he let them. God knows, you know, he had to let them, because if he had just said stop, if he had said move, if he had said back up, if he had said drop dead, everything in there would have dropped dead. But he took it because he loved us so much, the greatest love at all. He let them make him carry his own 300-pound cross up that rugged hill, knowing that he was going to have an even more painful experience on that cross. They put railway stakes in his wrist. They put railway stakes in his feet. He let them do that to him because he loved us so much, the greatest love of all. He let them pierce him in his side.
pierced him in his side, and his blood came out, washed away my sin, washed away your sin. Some of us don't even love Jesus, and he showed how much he loved us, because in spite of you and in spite of me, he did something to save your soul. Greatest love of all. Let them put him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there. Friday, Saturday, got up Sunday morning with all powers in his hand. Greatest love of all. But that ain't the end of the story. Jesus is helping you right now. Right this very moment. Jesus said we can ask him what we need. He'll give it to us according to his good and perfect will. Jesus will let you turn your back on him and live like you are pure crazy most of your life. And when you are ready to receive him, he'll still let you come back to him. That's the greatest love of all.
Thank you, Jesus.
How many folk you know will let you spit in their face? Let you cuss them to their face? Let you steal stuff out their house? Some of us even physically jumped on folk, tried to fight them, beat them, talking about them like a dog all over town to everybody that'll listen. And when we went back to them, they said, I forgive you and I love you. That's the greatest love of all. That's you and that's me. Oh, you may not have done some of what I said, but you've done some of it. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. You've done some of it. You ain't always loved Jesus like he loves you. And he loves us right now. Why? Because the Bible says that even right now, he sits beside the Father in heaven, and he's our advocate. Right now. Greatest love of all. Because he gave it, and nobody can stop it. No thing, nothing. You know that word nothing? There's no thing. No thing and nobody can stop God's love from reaching us.
Amen.
And helping us. I can't even stop it myself. It's the greatest love of all. Give God some glory.